Good morning and welcome to the fourth Sunday of Lent in Year B. First reading is from 2 Chronicles. The Lord was tirelessly sending a messenger after messenger. In St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we hear God loved us with so much love that he was generous with his mercy. And in the Gospel of John, the story of Nicodemus, the Son of Man, must be lifted up. But let's begin with Psalm 136, so let my tongue cleave to my mouth if I remember you not.
Oh, let my tongue cleave to my mouth if I remember you not. Oh, let my tongue cleave to my mouth if I remember you not. Sat down and wept as we turned our thoughts to Zion. Sadness entered our hearts. Oh, let my tongue cleave to my mouth if I remember you not. Oh, let my tongue cleave to my mouth if I remember you not. There our captors had asked us to sing them songs of joy, but how could we sing the Lord's songs in an alien land? Oh, cleave to my mouth if I remember you not. Oh, let my tongue cleave to my mouth if I remember you not. If I prize not Jerusalem higher than all joys, my right hand will surely wither, and my tongue speak no more. Oh, let my tongue cleave to my mouth if I remember you not. Oh, let my tongue cleave to my mouth if I remember you not.
Son of Man must be lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not be lost, but may have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. No one who believes in him will be condemned, but whoever refuses to believe is condemned already, because he has refused to believe in the name of God's only Son. On these grounds is sentence pronounced, that though the light has come into the world, men have shown they prefer darkness to the light, because their deeds were evil. And indeed, everybody who does wrong hates the light and avoids it, for fear his actions should be exposed. But the man who lives by the truth comes out into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what he does is done in God.
word of God this week has extremely positive messages for us, full of the good news, not just for Nicodemus or the Ephesians, but for all of us now, here today. In John's Gospel, did you hear? God loved us with so much love. And St. Paul tells us we are God's work of art. He also brings an image of God that says he's generous with mercy. What does this word mercy mean for us? When was the last time you heard the word mercy spoken outside of church venues? It's generally thought that the modern mentality leaves no room for mercy. What kind of world does this leave us? Imagine if there was no one willing to give the benefit of the doubt, everyone intent on getting their own back, or constantly digging for dirt to condemn and point the finger. This type of behaviour comes from a negative attitude. Things like callousness, intolerance, and anger. Can you imagine what someone's face looks like who's always acting like this? What gestures are they doing with their hands and arms? I don't think they'd be sending out any warm signals, do you? The letter to the Ephesians continues to support the truth that God's love is a free, generous gift given through grace, through unmerited favour. Not because we've earned it by our deeds, not by doing anything, but it's simply a gift from God. Every article I read this week, everything I've looked at, it seems to repeat the truth that we are loved by God. Forever and whatever. It's unconditional. Yet we find it so hard to grasp. Is it because this is the way of the world? Is it because we feel guilty and we sometimes need to do something and we think we can earn that love? We may attempt to do a similar thing with our own families, to try and love them unconditionally. But left to our own devices, we soon start to find faults around us. And when it comes to strangers, people on TV or in another vehicle, a car on the road who's cutting in front of us, then we hardly give them the benefit of the doubt. Anyone who's crossed us in any way. One of the ways we can perhaps begin to accept God's love is if we imagine it being similar to that of a good mother or a loving nun. A priest, a contemplative priest, once said that at the start of each day he tried to put himself in the presence of a loving God, but so many distractions and bad memories of the past kept blocking his way. Seemed as though he was locked into searching for God in the past instead of for looking for God in the present. He felt sad and guilty and lost and wondered how much harder did he need to pray. Perhaps that was the fault. One day he got the image of a new baby in his mother's arms, not doing anything, not trying to be good, just living and breathing in his mother's arms and being loved. And he realised all he had to do was to be still and let God be. Much of what is reported today in the story about Nicodemus, I'm thinking about, it's difficult. One part of it, though, isn't. It's the bit that comes at the very beginning. It's where the writer says, the Son of Man must be lifted up. And it's probably meant to be a foreshadow of Calvary. But when I imagine the scene on Good Friday, I'm always close up, like in the Stations of the Cross, you know, a few feet away from me. I can see everything in great detail in reality, but probably at the actual crucifixion in Jerusalem, the crowds would have only seen a distant silhouette against the cloudy sky from a good way off. Would they have given it a second thought? Perhaps they were just going on the way, too busy with their daily lives, seeing too many crucifixions. It was a common occurrence. Why would they go rushing to see close up? Perhaps they'd become immune to this kind of suffering. A bit like when we walk around churches today. Do we just pass by the crucifix without a thought? But the crucifixion embodies not just mercy, but all the great gospel themes of life, light, judgment, belief, truth, and most of all, love. Many of these high ideals may be kept in our head up at the top here, but the passage that we've been reading from John seems to say something more, something like, don't keep the barriers about this. Allow the movements from the head into the hands and the heart and the face. Allow us to see the wonder of God's mercy. And one person, perhaps, who was always close up at all the events in particular, but went the whole way of the cross with Jesus, and can also show us a good mother's love, is obviously Mary. And there's a book out for Lent by Richard Fury called Mary's Way of the Cross, which begins by comparing the suffering, falls, rejections and condemnations as being part of all our lives. And since Mary was with Jesus along every step, we try to see through her eyes what Jesus was going through on the way to Calvary. By doing this, we may start to appreciate the love involved. Here's an example from the third station. The third station, Jesus falls the first time, and Mary says,
I followed close behind my son as he stumbled towards Calvary. Nothing had ever hurt me more than to see him in such pain. I saw the cross digging into his shoulders. My heart dropped when I saw him fall face on the ground, the heavy cross landing squarely on his back. For a moment I thought my beloved son was dead. My whole body began to tremble. Then the guards kicked him. He rose slowly and began to walk again. I wanted to protect him with my own body, but I knew this had to be. So I walked on and wept, silently.
And perhaps our response could be imagined as this. Lord, how often have I seen you fall, and unlike Mary, have left you there without concern? How often have I seen people make mistakes and laughed at them? How often do I find myself getting angry with someone does something different than I would do? Mary offered you her support through your entire passion. Help me to do the same for you by the support I give to others. Lord, have mercy on me. Nicodemus had been there on the way of the cross too. Do you think that this is where he finally saw the light of Christ and the love of God for all, and stopped worrying in his head about all the answers to those questions, and allowed that love to go into his heart? The good news in today's gospel is that through the unconditional love of God, we are not to be condemned. We are not to be lost. We are to be brought into the light. We've been born to live by the truth that we deserve to show in the risen life of Christ now. Calling to mind the love of God has for us, made in the image of God, we are God's work of art. So it's astonishing to discover the immensity of God's unconditional love for us. Our response can only be to love God in return and our neighbour as ourselves.